place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So these who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in this crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'
Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and body also.
For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away.
I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me.
I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?"
Hosanna.
The special joyful noise offering is going to go
Hosanna
ahead.
Hosanna in the highest.
You may have seen something like this in your church, right? Some point in time. And if you have another one, you have two palms. Palm, palm. Palm, palm. All right, let's forget that ever happened. Let's just erase that one from your memories. Okay, so what's all the excitement over some palm frond or two? You might have something to do with, of course, Palm Sunday, you think? Well, we're about to find out on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. Since the beginning of time, palm branches, or as I prefer to call them, palm fronds. Is it weird, or does that kind of sound delicious? Palm fronds and a basil chutney on a bed of endive. Am I the only one that's hungry? Or just the only one that's hungry for weird sounding? thing? Sure. Since the beginning of time, palm fronds have stood for goodness and victory, often used on things like coins or public artwork. Now, in the Old Testament, King Solomon decorated the temple with carvings of palm branches. And in the book of Revelation, it describes a great multitude of people from every nation raising palm branches in reverence to Jesus. But most commonly, in the church, the palm frond is recognized as a part of Palm / Passion Sunday, or what we traditionally have simply called Palm Sunday. Now, in the Gospel according to John, there was a large crowd that came to Jerusalem for Passover festival, and they took the branches of the palm trees, and they went out to meet Jesus with their symbols of goodness and victory. And as Jesus rode a donkey, they were shouting, "Hosanna," meaning to save. For us, our Palm Sunday celebrations are a way to mark the beginning of the Holy Week. On the Sunday before Easter, we think back to those ancient palm fronds, and it's really just a composite of all the elements taken from the Gospels, including the waving of the palm branches in the festal procession. Now, this isn't done to recreate what actually happened so long ago, per se. I mean, nobody really knows for sure. But rather, for the church to celebrate itself here and now. We recognize the coming of Jesus as the heart of spiritual leadership. Now, some churches even save the palm branches and then burn them on the following year for use as the ceremonial ashes of... I will use mine not as pom-poms. I wasn't going to say that at all. Maybe I'll just make a nice salad out of them. Until once again, Palm Sunday starts off Holy Week, setting the tone for the greatest time of the Christian year, the resurrection of the Christ to conquer death and bring eternal life. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you'd like to learn more, ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you. That's kind of blocking the shot. They can't really... they can't see. I usually smile at the end, so it's like, I do this. You can't cover that up.
...and collecting these offerings that are going to help so many people and send students to college in Africa for Africa University. It's a college that was started by someone who was born in Moline. So it has roots back in our conference, back in our Spoon River District here in the United Methodist Church by our neighbors in Moline. So this is going to be a great blessing to them, and I'm so proud of you guys. So Palm Sunday is pretty cool. We get to wave the palms, and we get to jump into the story when Jesus came in on a donkey, right? Do you guys know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means, Lord, save us. And the palms that we wave, they represent victory. That is, Jesus' victory over sin and death that we'll see in the resurrection when we celebrate that on Easter. And it also represents the peace that God came to bring us by sending his son Jesus to show us how to love people and to love God. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you for sending Jesus to be the humble king who came to us riding on a donkey for his victory parade. Thank you for loving us and help us to be more like Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.
The New Testament reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Today's service We are going to be journeying to the cross. And we are going to be reading Luke's gospel. And on the screen, we, the congregation, will be reading the words of Jesus in red. And I hope and pray that God's word will illumine our hearts and we will see things with a new perspective, having spoke together the words of Christ as the body of Christ today. And at the start of our narrative today, we have where Jesus institutes the Last Supper. They're having Passover together. And Jesus begins to speak the words that we're about to say. Before we do, I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So after we read verse 20, the ushers are going to come forward, and we are going to quietly receive communion, and they're going to serve it to you in the pews. And after you've done receiving the body and blood of Christ, there are bowls that you can put your little cups in discreetly. But I want to give this invitation. Anyone is welcome. Anyone who earnestly repents of your sin, seeks to change your heart and life, and be at peace with God and with others, is welcome to taste and see that the Lord is good in communion today. So let us now read from Luke's gospel, beginning in chapter 22 at verse 14. And it's in your pew Bibles on page, is it 804? I believe it's starting at 804. 806. Thank you. When the time came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles joined him. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I tell you, I won't eat it until it is fulfilled in God's kingdom. After taking a cup and giving thanks, he said,
Take this
and share it among yourselves.
I tell you that from now on, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come.
And after taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the meal. This cup is the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you.
But look,
the betrayer is with me. His hand is on this table. The Son of Man goes just as it has been determined. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays him. Will the ushers come forward, please, and the communion stewards? They began to argue among themselves about which of them it could possibly be who would do this. An argument broke out among the disciples over which one of them should be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
The king of the Gentiles rule over their subjects,
and those in authority over them are called friends of the people. But that's not the way it will be with you. Instead, the greatest among you must become like a person of lower status, and the leader like a servant. So which one is greater, the one who is seated at the table or the one who serves at the table? Isn't it the one who is seated at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are the ones who have continued with me in my trials, and I confer royal power on you, just as my Father granted royal power to me. Thus you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones overseeing the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, look, Satan has asserted the right to sift you all like wheat. However, I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. When you have returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Peter responded, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow today before you have denied three times that you know me. Jesus said to them, when I sent you out without a wallet, bag, or sandals, you didn't lack anything, did you? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now whoever has a wallet must take it, and likewise a bag. And those who don't own a sword must sell their clothes and buy one. I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in relation to me. And he was counted among criminals. Indeed, what's written about me is nearing completion. They said to him, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, enough of that. Jesus left and made his way to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. And the disciples followed him. When he arrived, he said to them, pray that you won't give in to temptation. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. Then a heavenly angel appeared to him and strengthened him. He was in anguish and prayed even more earnestly. His sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from praying, he went to his disciples. He found them asleep, overcome by grief. He said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. And while Jesus was still speaking, a crowd appeared, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas,
would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him recognized what was about to happen, they said, Lord, should we fight with our swords? One of them struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus responded, stop, no more of this. He touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to get him,
Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were a thief?
Day after day I was with you in the temple, but you didn't arrest me. But this is your time when darkness rules. After they arrested Jesus, they led him away, and they brought him to the high priest's house. Peter followed from a distance. And when they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat together down, Peter sat among them. Then a servant woman saw him sitting in the firelight. She stared at him and said, this man was with him too. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, you are one of them too. Peter said, man, I'm not. An hour or so later, someone else insisted, this man must have been with him because he is a Galilean too. Peter responded, man, I don't know what you are talking about. At that very moment, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and Peter remembered the Lord's words.
Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.
And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. The men who were holding Jesus in custody taunted him while they beat him. They blindfolded him and asked him repeatedly, prophesy! Who hit you? Insulting him, they said many other horrible things against him. As morning came, the elders of the people, Both chief priests and legal experts came together, and Jesus was brought before the council. They said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." He answered, "If I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated on the right side of the power of God." They all said, "Are you God's son then?" He replied, You say that I am. Then they said, "Why do we need further testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." The whole assembly got up and led Jesus to Pilate and began to accuse him. They said, "We have found this man misleading our people, opposing the payment of taxes to Caesar, and claiming that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, That's what you say. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no legal basis for action against this man." But they objected strenuously, saying, "He agitates the people with his teaching throughout Judea, starting from Galilee all the way to here." Hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was from Herod's district, Pilate sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus, for he had heard about Jesus and wanted to see him for quite some time. He was hoping to see Jesus perform some sign. Herod questioned Jesus at length, but Jesus didn't respond to him. The chief priests and the legal experts were there, fiercely accusing Jesus. Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt. Herod mocked him by dressing Jesus in elegant clothes and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate and Herod became friends with each other that day. Before this, they had been enemies. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. He said to them, "You brought this man before me as one who was misleading the people. I have questioned him in your presence and found nothing in this man's conduct that provides a legal basis for the charges you have brought against him. Neither did Herod, because Herod returned him to us. He's done nothing that deserves death. Therefore, I'll have him whipped, then I'll let him go." But with one voice, they shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison because of a riot that had occurred in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them again because he wanted to release Jesus. They kept shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, Pilate said to them, "Why? What wrong has he done? I found no legal basis for the death penalty in this case. Therefore, I will have him whipped, then let him go." But they were adamant, shouting their demand that Jesus be crucified. Their voices won out. Pilate issued his decision to grant their request. He released the one they asked for, who had been thrown into prison because of a riot and murder, but he handed Jesus over to their will. Those words reverberate in my mind and in my ears and in my heart. Crucify him. Crucify him. It's sobering to hear.
So I came here today to ask you a series of questions to ponder and to reflect that I have been reflecting on and wrestling with this week. How can God's people boldly sing Hosanna and blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens at the city gates on that Palm Sunday. And yet days later, how can they be incited into an angry riot mob that shouts, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" to Pontius Pilate on Good Friday? Less than a week, it all turns. How can Jesus' own disciples and his closest companions break bread and share the same cup in 1 hour with him for an evening at Passover? And yet hours later, regress into grief, disobey his command to stay awake, and betray him to a bribed arrest, and deny him three times, while he was taunted and tortured by evil men. How can these same friends and followers of Jesus, these disciples who before had truly preached good news for the poor, they had healed the sick, they had fed the hungry, and they had delivered the oppressed with Jesus. How could they of all people withdraw from him, retreat from him, and stand off from him at a distance to observe their beloved master's death by execution, nailed to a cross between two terrorists? Are we any different from Jesus' own disciples who lost courage to pray against temptation? And in their grief, they fell asleep while Jesus prayed for us all with sweat falling like drops of blood. When are those moments when we have failed, when we have betrayed, when we have denied, and when we have rebelled against Christ's love for us? How have we, who call ourselves Christians today, turned away from Jesus in our sins, our selfishness, our self-deception? And what are those fearful, anxious, insecure, self-protective ways that we each think, we speak, and we act during the week between Sunday and Friday and even to Saturday to adamantly communicate to God and to our family and our neighbors? We don't want him as our king. Crucify him. Crucify him. The only thing we can say to this rattling truth that we've heard today from God's word, and as we find ourselves in the story, even though we've been saying the words of Christ, because we are the body of Christ, each and every one of us, because of our sin and because of the sins against us and our selfishness and our self-deception, all we can cry out is, "Lord, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." So today, I come to remind you that we do have good news because of the cross. My brothers and sisters, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant, a suffering servant. So let us draw near to God and confess our sin in the truth of God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Most merciful God, We, your church, confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ, where we have failed to love one another as he loves us, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him. Forgive us, we pray, and by your spirit, make us faithful in every time of trial. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede and pray for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, friends, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen. Now there was a man named Joseph who was a member of the council. He was a good and righteous man. He hadn't agreed with the plan and actions of the council. He was from the Jewish city of Arimathea and eagerly anticipated God's kingdom. This man went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb carved out of the rock in which no one had ever been buried. It was the preparation day for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. Then they went away and prepared fragrant spices and perfumed oils. They rested on the Sabbath in keeping with the commandment. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will. And in the glorious victory of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.